All right, we'll go ahead and get in our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Genesis here tonight, the book of Genesis. Good place to go for the first service of the year. And again, the Bible reading things are out there, and you can get going on that if you hadn't already, or catch up on it, and use the schedules that are out there. But Genesis is certainly a good place to be in your Bible reading. We're going to chapter 5 tonight. Chapter 5, we're actually going to talk about lessons from Enoch tonight. Lessons from Enoch. Let's read verses 21 through 24 here tonight. Genesis 5, 21. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So twice we have the phrase there. I've highlighted it in my Bible. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. Now let me read to you as well. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So that's Hebrews 11:5 that tell us about that. Could you turn the monitor down just a tad there? So lessons from Enoch. I want to talk about him tonight. I think it's a good place to get started and think about our walk with God as we go into this year. And what I want to do is I'm going to give you some New Testament references that talk about it, because a walking with God, that is. The Bible says a lot about walking with God. It's a picture of our Christian life. It's a picture of our relationship with the Lord. And I believe that's what the Bible's talking about when it says Enoch walked with God. Every day he had a daily relationship with the Lord. He talked with the Lord, and he was approved by the Lord, because the Bible says there also he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then that's in 11:5, and then in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. I believe verse 6 is one of the main verses that we quote there out of Hebrews 6, but it's connected with Enoch, also with all of them, but right there, verses 5 and 6 go together. And so he pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So we know Enoch was a man of faith. He was translated, raptured, if you will, by faith. He walked with God by faith. He didn't see God. He walked with God by faith. So as you think about that tonight, he had a testimony that pleased God. Don't you think that's important? To have a testimony that pleases God. You know, what is your testimony? I believe your testimony is your Christian reputation, if you will. People say, I don't care what people think of me. You need to care what people think of you, in the sense that you represent God and you're an ambassador of the Lord, and you have a testimony of what God has done in your heart and life, and you want to uphold that, right? You believe Enoch had a good testimony? He did. And the Bible talks about a man who walked with God. Now, he pleased God. I don't think he pleased God because life was so easy and convenient and pleasant for him. I think he pleased God because he talked with God every day. He listened to God. He's whatever Bible he had at that time, any word he had from the Lord, he was in tune with that. And he prayed and he talked with God, and I think he probably discussed everything with God. That's the idea of walking with God, is that he was talking to God, and I think pretty much about everything in his life. So I would say Enoch was just a common, hardworking individual who loved God. I'm glad there's still folks around like that, aren't you? Folks who just, a common, everyday, hardworking people who have enough sense to still love God and to know that God loves us and just to walk with God. Now, the name Enoch means dedication, and I believe he obviously was dedicated, consecrated, dedicated to God. He was possibly, perhaps, and probably the first prophet. Jude, verse 14, says, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Now, that's interesting. We get this little glimpse that the Bible says he prophesied. What did he prophesy about? Jude said he prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Where in the world did he get that? What was he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord. Isn't that amazing that the man who was raptured there early on in the New Old Testament was talking about the coming of the Lord? And the Lord came for him? He prophesied about that. The only way he could prophesy about the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints, that's the picture of the second coming way early in the Bible, right? That's pretty amazing that he would prophesy about that. And Jude, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was filled in on that piece of information and gives it to us. So he's telling people about the coming of the Lord, and then he was raptured out of here. So I'd say his life preached. His life preached. But his words preached, obviously, as well. And he told people about saving grace, simple goodness, and sudden glory. We're still talking about it. It's still the truth, isn't it? So he was a great witness, I believe, shining for the Lord in a very dark world. Now, again, I don't think the Bible is just trying to give us a historical idea about this individual. I believe the Lord gave us this information about him to inspire us to follow his example, which was what? Walk with God, please God, be close to God, speak up for God. He did all of that. Now, Amos said this, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, no. So I think he agreed with God. That's how he walked with God. One way that you walk with God is that you agree with God. Now, Amos said you don't walk with a person when you don't agree with them. You're not going in the same direction. You know the old saying, if you hadn't bumped into the devil lately, it might be because y'all both are going the same direction. Well, I don't want to be walking with him. Amen. I don't want to be walking with the devil. I'd rather bump into him because we go in the opposite directions from each other. You hear about the lady that called her husband and she said, be careful out on the highway. I hear there's a car going the wrong way. He said, it ain't just one. It's like 100 of them out here. You might know that guy, right? But no, he walked with God. He was in agreement with God. They were going in the same direction. By the way, repentance means I change directions. I agree with God. So I believe he had done that in his life. Now, it's interesting to me, too. Chapter 5 is very interesting. But the last verse of chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So the ungodly line of Cain was already established, but now it reestablished was the godly line with Seth. And in that is Enoch. And Enoch has repented. He's in agreement with God. Therefore, he is walking with God, not against God. We can walk against God, can't we? You don't want to walk against. I hope you didn't walk against God in 23. You certainly don't want to walk against God in 2024. Amen. He was in agreement with God. He was more than well acquainted with God. I believe he practiced Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I believe he wanted God to direct his path. He didn't know the verse, but he lived with that spirit and that attitude that he trusted the Lord and he acknowledged the Lord in all things, and God did direct his path. So to him, God was real. You know, back in chapter 11, again, of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That describes Enoch. Does that describe us? He walked with God. He understood God. He knew God. He was well acquainted with God, all by faith, because he hadn't seen God. So he was well acquainted with God because he talked with God, he followed God, he prayed to God and trusted God with everything. He acknowledged God. Do you think he had already learned what Peter talked about? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He loved God. We love him because he first loved us. I tell you what, he was right there early on in this thing. Chapter 3, man falls into sin. Chapter 4, Cain, and here we are with chapter 5 now, and Enoch doing the right thing, walking with God, loving God and being with God and understanding to cast his cares upon God, for God cared for him, understanding we love him because he first loved us, understanding if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. I mean, he knew all these things. Understood them, I'll say it that way. Obviously, he didn't have the New Testament, but you know what I'm saying there. Or the Proverbs. Well, let me point out some more New Testament truths. Let me say it like that. Lessons from Enoch. Number one, let's just talk about walking with God. Number one, walk by faith. Number one, walk by faith. This year, in 2024, like Enoch, walk by faith. The Bible says he did. He walked by faith. He trusted God. By faith, the Bible says. We need to walk by faith. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 tells us it was by faith. It tells us that he couldn't see God, but he knew God. He believed that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he was a man who walked by faith. Now, it all begins with believing the gospel for us. It starts with John 3:16. It starts with believing that he came, his virtuous life, he lived a perfect life, he's the sinless Son of God. Amen. We believe that. And he paid for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. He died and then he resurrected 3 days later. He ascended back up into heaven. And he's coming again. Enoch understood some of these things because he walked with God. You need to testify? Amen. I was about to get to that right there. That's where I was headed, right there. We're hoping for the same thing he got. Amen. We're hoping for that rapture ourselves, to believe that the Lord is coming again, and we'd love to see it through the rapture. We'd love to see it that way for sure. Walk by faith. You know, faith, just trust in God for salvation. Harry Ironside was speaking one time, and a man interrupted him and said, look, wait, stop. He said, you know, there's hundreds of religions out there, and, you know, how's just as common folk like us supposed to know which one is right? Harry Ironside told him, he said, no, there's only two. The man was like, what do you mean there's only, he says, there's only two. He said, now I understand there's a lot of opinions and shades and variations of the one of them. He said, but there's only two. One of them says you can get to heaven by what you do. He said, the one I'm telling you about says you can get to heaven by what somebody else has done. And that really is where it's at, folks. Religion is what I do to get to heaven. Christianity is what Jesus has done so that I can get to heaven by faith. You get saved by faith. You live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Did you live by faith last year? Did you have to trust God with some things last year? Did he bring you through some things by faith last year? You believe he's still around in 2024? And you're going to walk by faith. Amen? Enoch walked by faith. Number two, walk in the new life. Walk in the new life. Let me give you this verse, Romans 6:4. By the way, for the other one, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But in walk in the new life, Romans 6:4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In newness of life. What is that? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Enoch was in the new life. Amen. Not the way of Cain, but the way of the godly line. He was walking the new life. He was walking like a new creature. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. You remember when you did that? It was in a new life. Amen. New creature in Christ. Why would anybody want to keep on living in sin? It wasn't a blessing when you did it. You don't need to go back to it now. Amen. Young preacher, he got saved out of a terrible life of sin. God saved him. God called him to preach. And before he got up to the pulpit, somebody handed him a note. Well, that's kind of nervous for a preacher sometimes. And or a preacher, I got to talk to you right before you get in the pulpit, and they load a bomb on you, of some sort. And then you got that on your mind. Well, he gets this note right before he gets in the pulpit, and he reads it. Somebody had listed all his old sins and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself getting up here talking to these people, knowing you did all these things. Well, he bowed his head and he prayed, and he walked to the pulpit and he took that note out. He said, somebody just handed me a note. He read the note to him. He said, now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read these sins to you, because these people know I did all this stuff. He said, I'll tell you this too. I am ashamed of myself. He said, but I ain't ashamed of my Savior who forgave it all. Amen. Thank God he was walking in the new life. That old life, hey, the devil might bring it up. Other people might bring it up. And you might be reminded of yourself. You might beat yourself up about it sometimes. But you're not walking in the old life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He was walking in the new life. In newness of life. Ephesians, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a different life. Which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. He walked in them. He walked in the good works. He walked in the newness of life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 talks about you're saved by faith unto righteousness. It's a new life. Saved out of sin to live no longer therein. Amen. Aren't you glad you saved out of sin? Saved from the penalty of it, but you're also saved from the power of it. You can get victory, right? That's a new life. You're going to walk with God this year. Walk by faith. Walk in the new life. Don't walk in that old sinful life anymore. Number three, let's walk in the Spirit. Number three, walk in the Spirit. You know, again, chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God. He that cometh to God. How do you think you came to God? The Holy Spirit drew you unto God. How do you think Seth and Enoch and them came unto God? I believe the Spirit drew them unto God. I believe the Spirit of God was at work back then too. Amen. He may not have indwelt them like He does us, but He was at work. I believe the Spirit of God was revealing God to themselves. But you and I have a much fuller teaching and explanation there in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Folks, we can walk in the Spirit, or we can walk in the old flesh too, right? But I just said, don't walk in that. Walk in the new life. What is that? Walk in the Spirit. Number three, walk in the Spirit. So walk by faith. Walk in the new life. Walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Thank God for that. You know, another little story. A preacher years ago was preaching. It had a little oil lamp there. It was kind of, didn't have a whole lot of oil in it. So while he was preaching, it just went out. Put off this bunch of smoke and a bad smell. Is that how old oil lamps used to work? The wick would just dry up and put out some... Boy, that preacher went off on that. He said, some of you are like this wick right here. You're trying to do it in your own strength, your own power, your own fuel, and your life stinks because of it. He said, but if you get the power of the Holy Spirit, which is oil in the Old Testament, amen, the oil... He said, but if you do it in the power, if you have a constant supply of the oil, fresh oil, the Holy Spirit's, that'll keep you going anytime. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. Choose every day. You got to choose it every day. If you don't, you automatically go find yourself walking in the flesh. That's so easy for us to do. We still got these two natures. We got that old nature still. And it's so easy for us to walk in the flesh. Easy. We backslide. Why do you need to read your Bible? To feed the new spirit, right? The spiritual side. If you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to church, it's easy to walk in the flesh. It's easy to get in the flesh, as we say. But we're 2024. You walk by faith. Trust God with whatever it is. Trust God with what's going to come into your life. By the way, He already knows what's coming. He already knows what you're going to face. You faced some things. Some of you faced some things last year. God knew it was coming, and you trusted God with it. Amen? And God helped you with it. Still had to face it. And it's going to be the same way this year. Walk by faith. Walk in the new life. Walk in the Spirit. Not the old life. Not the flesh. Let's not do that. Charles Spurgeon said on that point, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without the sap, and like coals without fire. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We are useless without Him. He's referring there to the branches without sap, to what that classic lesson Jesus gave in John 15. Abide in the vine, and the fruit comes to the branch. But the branch didn't make the fruit come, the vine did. Jesus said, the vine, we're just the branch. And if you have any fruit, it's because you're walking in the Spirit. You're abiding in the vine. This year, walk in the Spirit. Abide in the vine. Rest in the Spirit. And let Him do the work in us and through us. Amen. I'm glad the Lord didn't leave us to do this thing by ourselves. I mean, we got the Bible, we got prayer, we got the church, and we got the daily, constant indwelling and sealing of the Holy Spirit. He came in and He ain't going out. Amen. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's there all the time. Get in tune with that. Walk in the Spirit. All right. Walk by faith. Walk in the new life. Walk in the Spirit. I think Enoch was doing these things. He didn't understand how it would be elaborated upon and taught further in the New Testament. But I believe his walk with God is a picture of these New Testament truths. Number four, walk in God's love. Walk in God's love. What we read there in Genesis said, he walked with God, and then it says, God took him. Why did God take him on up to heaven? You think God loved him and God said, hey, come on up here and let's finish this conversation in heaven. Isn't that amazing? God loved that man. And that man loved God. Walk in love. John the Beloved. Boy, he wrote a lot about this thing about brotherly love, Christian love, didn't he? I mean, read the Gospel of John. Read the epistles of John. John talks about, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That you have love one unto another. A new commandment, right? I believe God. Enoch loved God. God loved Enoch. And God loved Enoch so much, one day God took him. Everybody said, well, where's Enoch? Enoch hadn't come back for supper. We're putting out the, that's a silver alert, right? Because he was an old man, wasn't he? Boy, they put out the silver alert for him. Everybody's phone was going off, and they would say, that's Enoch. Enoch ain't come home today. Enoch's not around today. And they found him. They never found Enoch. But Moses told us later on, I'll tell you what happened to Enoch. God took him. He was raptured. He was translated. God loved him so much, and their fellowship, you ever had such good fellowship with God, it felt like you ascended right on up into heaven, into the heavenlies, as Paul talked about. Tell you what, you can have heaven in your soul now, amen? But he just went right on up into heaven. You're a heavenly citizen right now, but one day you're just going to go right on up into heaven, and that's exactly what he did. I believe that's because God loved him. You know, by that love, we can love the Savior, we can love the saints, we can love sinners. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, Ephesians 5:2. I think the church is the best place for fellowship among Christians because it's rooted in the love of Christ. It's rooted in the family of Christ. When I talk to people a lot of times and they need help, I say, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. So you need a church. You need a church family right now is what you need. You need the fellowship. You need the love. You need the support. You need to walk in that love, dwell in that love. And being in the church family is one of the ways that we do that. People need love. And they're running to the bar over and over again. They're not getting it in the clubs. They're not getting it there. Running to this and running to that. Boy, if they would just learn to run to the Lord and feel and sense and know the love of God. And a church ought to be a place, by this all men know, you're my disciples, right? You have love one to another. Church ought to be a place where people feel like they're being loved, right? Or they are loved. You know, one lady, she had a hard time comprehending that. Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus is the Beloved. You're accepted tonight. Did you know that? You're accepted with God in the Beloved. That's Jesus. And this lady, she said she got saved, but she just couldn't feel it. She couldn't feel or sense God's love. And then one day she heard a Sunday school teacher say, we know God loves us by faith. We feel God's love by relationship. In other words, if you'll fellowship with Him, you'll talk with Him, you'll listen to Him, you'll spend time with Him, you'll get a sense in His love and His care and His concern. And Enoch felt like God loved him, God loved his family, God loved his situation, God loved his financial problems, his physical problems. I wonder what they were talking about the day that God took him. You know, Lord, you know, I really got this debt. I don't know. Lord, you're going to have to help me with this debt. He said, I'll help you. Let's come on up to heaven. Amen. Don't you want the rapture to get you out of the next bill? Amen. It might have done him that way. Lord, I got this ailment. This is a new one here, Lord. And I got this doctor appointment and I've been to all these doctors. Lord, you know they don't know what they're doing. Lord, would you help me with this? And the Lord said, I'll heal you today. Come on up. Amen. Whatever it is, you keep praying about it. The Lord can heal you. Folks go to heaven sometimes. I've been praying for them. God didn't answer my prayer. They died. They're Christians. They're okay. Amen. They're with the Lord. You got to remember that. If they knew the Lord, they got healed. They knew the Lord, they got healed because they went to heaven, right? Well, he certainly did. Walk by faith, walk in the new life, walk in the Spirit, walk in God's love. And then number five, walk in the light. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the New Testament says walk in the light. The Bible says he was translated up into the city of light and out of this old sinful dark world. He had been walking in the world, he had been walking in the darkness, but you know what? I believe he had been letting his light so shine the whole time. I believe he knew how to walk in the light. Aren't you glad, folks? We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And now that you got saved and you got a Bible, you can be enlightened with the truth of God. You don't have to be in the darkness to the deceptions and the lies of the devil anymore, right? You can now walk in the light. You can walk in the truth. You can know, as the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is walking in the light. The psalmist was doing it. He was walking in the light. He had the lamp. He had the light. He had the lamp for his steps. He had the light for his path. Enoch had done that a long time before the psalmist had ever done it. And before Paul ever wrote about it. Or John ever wrote about it. This year you need to walk in the light. You're going to watch the news and you're going to see, my goodness, so many people are in darkness. So many people are blind to what the devil is doing. I tell you, you're walking in the light. You can see some things going on. You have some spiritual discernment. And folks just don't get it. They don't see it. And you're like, it is so obvious to me what the devil is doing and how the devil has blinded the minds and how the devil has deceived these people and how the devil has pulled the wool over their eyes. You can see it. They can't see it. The Bible says their minds are blinded by the devil. But you walk in the light. the Word of God, the way of the Lord, the way of righteousness, not darkness anymore. You're walking in light. I think these are New Testament truths. The Bible says a lot about this walk of ours. It's our Christian life. It's our fellowship with God. It's our following the Lord. I think Enoch was doing it a long time ago. Lessons from Enoch. How'd he do it? By faith. Lessons from Enoch. He walked by faith. There was a man named J.L. Heath, his father of seven, had a hard time making ends meet, providing for that family, working in a steel mill. But he learned just to trust God. Learned to trust God. And one day he wrote some words that became a well-known hymn. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering love, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. You heard that one? Did you get the tune in your head? I didn't want to mess it up for you. I hope you got the tune in your head there. I hope you know that one. That's a walk of faith. Enoch knew it a long time ago. After the godly line of Seth got started, he learned how to walk by faith. How to walk in love, God's love. How to walk in the light. How to do all these things we've talked about here tonight and walk in the Spirit and walk in the new life. Aren't you glad the Bible teaches us? I could have just stopped and said, turn to every one of them, let's just have a Bible study tonight. But I hope it blessed your heart. I hope you got it. But these are Bible truths here. Look in the back of your Bible. Get your concordance out. Look up the word walk, and you'll find all these verses and a whole lot more about walking with God. Like Enoch, the Bible says Enoch did. And walked with God right into heaven. Now, folks, even if you go by way of death, you're going to do the same thing. The angels are just going to transport you right on into heaven. Amen. You're going to walk in the pearly gates. Whether you go through death or we just go up in the rapture, either way, we're going to just walk with God, our Christian life. You know where it's going to end. It's never going to end, but you know the location it's headed to. The destination it's headed to is the city of light, heaven. With the Lord of light, Jesus. Walk with Him now. Walk with Him this year. And may the Lord help you as you do that. He will. Let's bow our heads as we think about this tonight. A lot of lessons from Enoch, but it's lessons from the Bible just on what the Bible said about the man. That he walked with God. Fellowship with God. Listen to God, trust God, follow God, live the Christian life, and you're walking with God. Father, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts here tonight, Lord. Encourage us and help us, Lord, with these truths from your word here this evening, Lord. And God, encourage us, Lord, as we head off into this new year now, and that we'll do exactly like Enoch and Paul and others and John and others have done. And walk with you. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. I just got a song change, so we're going to try to see if I know this one.
Watch.
I think I know it. Just a closer walk. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand for last time tonight. Just a closer walk with thee. I think I do know this one. Okay, I know this one. All right. 595, just a closer walk with thee. We'll sing the first verse.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I walk let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Good choice. Good job on it, too. That is a good song. All right. We got a new prayer sheet. So if you got one, there's some out there. All right. Take time to share prayer requests before we depart from here tonight. Thankfully.